Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. This has been a historic week marked by the assault on our nation's capital and the impeachment of President Donald Trump on grounds of inciting insurrection. We'll have clips today of what East County's representatives had to say when casting their votes on the House floor. In breaking news, former Santee City Councilman Stephen Houlihan, a registered nurse, has announced that he plans to run for Congress due to the federal government's mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic. His likely opponent, Congressman Daryl Issa, faulted Democrats in March for exaggerating the seriousness of the crisis, in his view, just days before the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic. County supervisors have voted to pursue state funds for housing for the mentally ill, homeless people, and those at risk of becoming homeless. Newly elected supervisor Joel Anderson wants to go further to help the homeless. You can hear details on today's show. Santa Ana winds are roaring into our region, heightening fire danger, and we'll have details. An organization focused on national security after the 9/11 terror attacks is calling for the resignation of local assemblyman Randy Vopel due to inflammatory remarks that he made likening the Capitol insurrection to the battle that began the Revolutionary War. From California News Service, COVID-19 vaccines will soon be available for seniors over age 65, as well as educators and some other at-risk groups. Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered the state's National Guard troops to protect the California Capitol in Sacramento after FBI warnings of right-wing extremists plotting attacks on all 50 state capitals. And on 2021 Talk from Public News Service, hear how security is being beefed up in Washington, D.C. prior to the inauguration of Joe Biden as president on January 20th, and hear details of the new rescue plan for America proposed by President-elect Biden, including a new round of COVID-19 relief checks and more. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. President Donald Trump is now the first president in history to be impeached twice. But unlike his first impeachment, this time, 10 Republicans joined with House Democrats to impeach President Trump on grounds of inciting insurrection. In a fiery speech delivered at the Capitol Ellipse before a crowd that included many armed supporters, the president urged them to march to the Capitol and disrupt certification of the votes affirming Joe Biden as president. Trump repeated debunked claims that the election was stolen, even though all 50 state election officials say they found no evidence of fraud, and more than 24 judges also found those claims baseless. Trump then fired up the angry mob, promising to march with them to the Capitol, even though he didn't.
But I said, something's wrong here. Something's really wrong. Can't have happened. And we fight. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
His attorney, Rudy Giuliani, also used violent language to incite the crowd. And here's an example.
Let's have trial by combat!
The mob invaded and looted the Capitol, killed a Capitol police officer, trampled one of their own, and caused at least 5 deaths. But it could have been far worse. Indictments of some insurrectionists arrested reveal that they planned to kill top elected officials, including assassinating House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Mike Pence, whom Trump had harshly criticized in his speech just before the mob terrorized legislators. The president watched on TV from the White House as the violent mob chanted, "Death to Pence," with a gallows erected on the Capitol lawn, and yet Trump refused to take calls from Pence or congressional leaders during the takeover of the Capitol. He even refused requests to send in the National Guard. It was Vice President Pence who ultimately authorized the National Guard after hours of presidential inaction. House Speaker Pelosi called the president a clear and present danger in her speech introducing the impeachment article.
A dark week it has been indeed. On Wednesday, the President of the United States incited a deadly insurrection against America that targeted the very heart of our democracy, this temple of democracy, the United States Capitol. And now the president is saying that he is not responsible and that his incitement to violence was totally appropriate. The president's actions demonstrate his absolute inability to discharge the most basic and fundamental powers and duties of his office. Therefore, the president must be removed from office immediately. This is a decision we make with the utmost solemnity and prayerfulness, which this crisis requires. Removal of the president is an unprecedented action, but it is required because it is an unprecedented moment in history because of the danger that he poses. And I heard the previous speaker say that we are objecting to the president because we don't like the way he executes the duties. No, we don't like it at all. Acts of sedition, incitement to insurrection, treasonous activity. And if you are associating yourself with that as the proper execution of the president's duties, you are associating yourself with sedition and treason.
San Diego's four Democratic members of Congress all voted for impeachment, though the lone Republican voted against it. The San Diego Union-Tribune recently characterized our county's two newest members, Sarah Jacobs and Daryl Issa, as profiles in courage and cowardice. Here's what Sarah Jacobs had to say in her floor speech on the impeachment.
Madam Speaker, the response to political violence must always be accountability. Without accountability, more violence will follow. I learned that working at the United Nations and the State Department in conflict settings around the world, and the United States Congress is now a conflict setting. A violent mob threatened our lives in this chamber and almost succeeded, incited by the president who broadcasted lies about the outcome of our election. We must hold this president accountable. It's the only way to protect our democracy. I yield back.
But Congressman Issa, who earlier took heat for claiming Democrats overplayed the seriousness of the insurrection and murder of a Capitol policeman, defended the president's actions when he cast his vote against impeachment.
The last speaker said that for 4 years, the president did all these terrible, insightful things, including anti-Semitism. I take exception with that, but I think it's important that we embrace one thing that was said. Yes, the president has been consistent for the last 4 years. During his campaign, representing another candidate, said that the president had political Tourette's. He said what was on his mind without a filter. I don't think that's being debated here today. We all know that's true. What's being debated is whether with 167 hours left until he leaves office, is he a clear and present danger? And he clearly isn't. The president has acted substantially the same for 4 years. He has rallied his base. And he has, in fact, called for peaceful protest, as he did just a few days ago. The fact is, today we are trying to punish the president, at least some are, for 4 years of what he did, not for what happened last week. What happened last week was the result of anarchists who came loaded, prepared, and with weapons. With that, I yield back.
But 10 Republicans did have the courage to stand against their party's president, including Liz Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney and the third highest-ranking Republican in the House. She voted for impeachment, but did not speak, instead issuing a written statement, which reads in part, "The President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. None of this would have happened without the president. The president could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not." Congresswoman Jaime Herrera Butler, another Republican who voted for impeachment, admitted to feeling afraid, but felt it her duty to do the right thing, even if it costs her re-election. Here is what she had to say.
If our enemy isn't the president or the president-elect. Fear is our enemy. Fear tells us what we want to hear. It incites anger and violence and fire. But it also haunts us into silence and inaction. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of what people will say or think. I'm afraid of being devalued. I'm not afraid of losing my job, but I am afraid that my country will fail. I'm afraid patriots of this country have died in vain. I'm afraid my children won't grow up in a free country. I'm afraid injustice will prevail. But truth sets us free from fear. Truth doesn't guarantee bad things won't happen, but it does promise to always prevail in the end. It has no shadows where darkness can hide. With truth comes love, and we could use that right now. My vote to impeach our sitting president is not a fear-based decision. I am not choosing a side. I'm choosing truth. It's the only way to defeat fear.
The president has remained defiant and unrepentant, however, even in the face of impeachment, continuing to defend his actions when asked by a reporter about his role in inciting the mob that trashed the Capitol.
What is your role in what happened at the Capitol? What is your personal responsibility?
So if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate. And if you look at what other people have said, politicians at a high level, about the riots during the summer, the horrible riots in Portland and Seattle and various other places, that was a real problem, what they said.
Now, it remains unclear whether the Senate will have enough votes to convict the president, though several Republicans have indicated they believe he did commit impeachable offenses. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell has indicated that he has not yet decided whether to actually vote for impeachment or not. Though in private, he reportedly has told some aides he does believe the president's actions may be impeachable. But McConnell has said he will not reconvene the Senate before Joe Biden is inaugurated on the 20th, and Democrats regain control of the Senate with the two new Georgia senators seated. That means an impeachment proceeding can't move forward until after Trump is out of office. There is historical precedent for the Senate to impeach and convict a federal official after he's no longer in office. A Secretary of War more than a century ago resigned after bribery evidence surfaced, and he was impeached after leaving office. The Congress indicated that members wanted to send a message to future public officials for the next century that such actions have grave consequences. If the Senate does vote to convict Trump, it could also vote to ban him from ever holding office again. He also stands to lose his presidential pension and other perks normally provided to former U.S. presidents. And there is the possibility that he could ultimately face prosecution for his actions. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Former Santee Councilman Stephen Houlihan has announced that he will run for the 50th Congressional District, the seat held by Republican Daryl Issa. Houlihan wasted no time in making the announcement shortly after losing his race against Santee Mayor John Minto. A political independent, Houlihan says he plans to become a Democrat for the 2022 congressional race. Issa won his election by just an 8-point margin over Democrat Amar Campanajar in November, filling the vacancy left by the resignation of Duncan Hunter after Hunter pled guilty to diverting $250,000 in campaign funds for his lavish personal lifestyle. A registered nurse and educator at Sharp Healthcare, Houlihan is a frontline healthcare worker who has worked in hospital ICUs and seen firsthand the ravages caused by COVID-19. One of his main reasons for running is the federal government's botched response to the pandemic. Houlihan was not available for an interview due to his intensive schedule at Sharp Memorial Hospital, but his spokesman, Bobby Borisov, says Houlihan criticized the Trump administration's bungling of getting out protective gear for healthcare workers, funding to help hospitals facing a surge in patients, and information to the public. Daryl Issa, in early March, claimed that COVID-19 was a crisis promoted by Democrats in a fundraising letter sent just days before the World Health Organization declared a worldwide pandemic. Houlihan has master's degrees in nursing and business from the University of San Diego, or USD. Before serving on the Santee City Council, he led a successful effort to stop the proposed gas-fired Quail Brush plant near Mission Trails Regional Park, based on concerns over its impacts on public health and safety. This week, Issa voted against impeachment of President Trump and also accused Democrats of overplaying Trump's role in the Capitol insurrection, ransacking, and deaths that occurred. Asked for Houlihan's comments on these issues, however, Borisov said, "He doesn't have a comment on Issa. He doesn't want to play political games, who's right or who's wrong. It's all about unity. It's all about getting the country fixed and stopping the fighting and serving the people in a better way." Houlihan made his candidacy announcement on a GoFundMe page he set up to raise money for legal fees associated with defending himself in a lawsuit filed last month by Republican Central Committee member and Santee resident Dan Bickford. Bickford, an outspoken supporter of the Finita Ranch massive housing development, accused defendants Van Collingsworth, Preserve Wild Santee, Houlihan, and his mayoral campaign of not disclosing donors to initiative drives that would enable the people to overturn the council's vote for Finita Ranch and give voters a say in future large development projects. Campanijar told East County Magazine that he won't make a decision on whether or not to run again until he sees the results of redistricting. Quote, "It's premature to make my decision, but I'm not ruling it out," he said. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
County supervisors unanimously voted Tuesday to apply for $12 million in additional state funding for the No Place Like Home program. No Place Like Home provides funding to create affordable housing units for those with serious mental illness who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. County Behavioral Health Supportive Services will also be provided to tenants in the No Place Like Home units over 20 years. The county has previously received some funding through this program. Tuesday's board action allows the county to seek an additional $12 million for a third round. In all, the county could qualify for a total of $117 million through the end of 2024. The county has put previous allocations towards six developments that are underway around the region in San Diego, the South Bay, and North County, but so far, there are no projects in East County. East County Magazine has reached out to East County's newly elected supervisor, Joel Anderson, whose campaign platform included helping the homeless, to ask if he plans any action to seek housing for the homeless and those at risk of homelessness in East County. We heard back from Scott Barnett, Supervisor Anderson's chief of staff. He said Supervisor Anderson plans to release a comprehensive plan to focus on homelessness, including people who are homeless because they lost jobs and can't pay rent, a problem getting worse during the pandemic, as well as those who are mentally ill or have substance abuse issues. Barnett said that in the supervisor's first 8 days, Joel Anderson has already met with about 10 county departments and homelessness activists, and he plans to propose pilot programs that can be expanded if they work or modified if improvements are needed. The East County area has large homeless populations in El Cajon, as well as the unincorporated areas of Spring Valley and Lakeside, among others. The annual point-in-time homeless count, normally done each January, has been canceled this year due to COVID-19, so there is no way to know how many more people may be living on the streets now due to losing their jobs or homes amid the pandemic. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Santa Ana winds are forecast to roar into our region, bringing high fire danger starting Friday and Saturday, along with soaring temperatures up to 20 degrees above normal. SDG&E has announced possible public safety power shutoffs to over 11,000 customers across San Diego County's mountain and rural communities. You can find updates on this at the outage page at sdge.com. The National Weather Service warns that strong, damaging Santa Ana winds are expected to again be likely Monday through Wednesday, along with likely high fire danger if the humidity remains low. There is, however, a slight chance of rain Tuesday night and Wednesday in our mountains and deserts. Along the coast, expect elevated surf to continue Sunday through Tuesday. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Soon after insurrectionists violently took over the nation's capital, threatening lives of legislators and resulting in 5 deaths, including a police officer, statements made by East County Assemblyman Randy Vopel are drawing sharp criticisms, including calls for his resignation or expulsion from the state legislature. Vopel, also a former Santee mayor, said of the insurrection, quote, "This is Lexington and Concord. First shots fired against tyranny. Tyranny will follow in the aftermath of the Biden swear-in on January 20th. The San Diego Union-Tribune reported on January 10th. That prompted numerous posts on the Republican Assemblyman's Facebook page, overwhelmingly condemning his statements. John Russo, who says he comes from a military family, wrote, quote, I do not respect your attempt to analogize the mob violence that desecrated our Capitol last week in an attempt to intimidate the Congress of the United States to the actions of the founders of this nation. The founders would have been horrified by what happened last week and would have dealt sternly with those who participated in, as well as those who incited an attack on the Republican and Democratic form of government that the Revolutionary War generation left us as a legacy. Rousseau then called on Vopel to resign, one of several voters who called for Vopel's resignation. While no one on Vopel's Facebook page overtly defended his remarks as of the deadline for today's show, some deflected by blaming Democrats for not being forceful enough in condemning other violence during Black Lives Matter protests earlier this year. The Truman National Security Project went further, sending a letter to the State Assembly calling for Vopel to be expelled. The group was founded after 9/11 to advocate for tough national security solutions. Their letter calls Vopel's words, quote, an explicit glorification of the insurrection and direct incitement of further violence, noting that Vopel is a military veteran as well as an elected official. The letter from the group, which includes many veterans, concluded, quote, we believe that he has violated his sworn oath and must be held accountable. The assembly leadership has not yet announced whether it will act on the expulsion request or take other disciplinary action. Vopel later tried to walk back his statements, posting on Facebook, quote, I do not condone or support the violence and lawlessness that took place on Wednesday, January 6th, at our nation's capital. He offered condolences to the families who lost loved ones in the attack. But he added that the actions reflect, quote, the deep division currently facing our nation, end quote, and called for healing that divide, but said nothing about holding insurrectionists responsible for their actions. Vopel has previously drawn criticisms of alleged stolen valor, falsely claiming to have earned military medals that in some cases were not backed up by military records. He has also been exposed boasting on tape of military exploits that did not occur, falsely claiming to have been in a boat in a jungle with an elite force in Vietnam, while, in fact, Vopel was a sailor stationed offshore. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
California has just changed its tier system to speed COVID-19 vaccinations for older people. The first tier of Phase 1 included people in nursing homes and frontline workers. Tier 1B has been expanded to include people age 65 and older, plus those who work in education, childcare, emergency services, and food and agriculture. Fred Buzo with AARP California commends the state for prioritizing older adults.
Since the start of the pandemic, nearly 95% of the deaths from COVID-19 have been among people who are 50 and over.
The state issues guidelines on each tier, but each county decides how to allocate them depending on the amount of vaccine they've received and the need in that area. People should check with their own health care provider and the county to determine when they will be eligible to receive a vaccination. Buzo says AARP's website now features a California vaccine distribution guide. In addition, there's an online hub for COVID information and a series of teletown halls about the virus.
Things are changing so quickly, so we are updating it very quickly. So you need to check back frequently.
He adds that people should be on the lookout for vaccine-related scams. In Santa Clara County, for example, Buzo says quite a few people have received fraudulent text messages telling them that appointments are available due to an excess of vaccine, when that is not the case. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Governor Gavin Newsom has announced deployment of up to 1,000 California National Guard troops to guard the state capitol in Sacramento amid threats of right-wing violence. The activation follows last week's insurrection in Washington, when thousands of supporters of defeated President Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol in an effort to overturn the November election. The FBI has warned that right-wing extremists are planning assaults on all 50 state capitals on or near Inauguration Day, January 20th. FBI Director Christopher Wray said Thursday that he is concerned about the potential for violence at multiple protests and rallies planned here in D.C. and at state capitol buildings around the country. Washington is under intense security, with over 20,000 National Guard troops deployed to bolster local police during the inauguration of President Joe Biden. Several states have activated their National Guard for security. The California Highway Patrol has canceled a permit for a rally slated for California's capital, citing concerns about potential violence. However, cancellation of a permit in Washington, D.C. did not deter armed insurrectionists there from violently invading the nation's capital, resulting in 5 deaths and extensive damage. Governor Newsom says National Guard troops and California Highway Patrol officers will set up a security perimeter to protect critical state infrastructure around our capital in advance of the presidential inauguration in Washington. The governor concludes, "What we witnessed in our nation's capital was an undemocratic and unconscionable assault on our republic," and he promises, "there will be no tolerance for violence." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 transition and uncharted territory.
Just as we respect and will protect peaceful protesters, we will also just as vigorously resist violence.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and other state leaders are beefing up security after FBI warnings of possible armed protests leading up to the inauguration. Organizations that track right-wing extremists say there's online chatter planning more violence. Utah Governor Spencer Cox says they're preparing.
We are bringing in all of our reserves that we can with the Highway Patrol. They will be ready this weekend, and the National Guard will be on standby.
To improve safety on flights to and from D.C., the TSA is increasing security screenings and some airlines are banning guns and alcohol. President-elect Joe Biden announced his American Rescue Plan last night, nearly $2 trillion to pull the country out of the economic crisis, including $1,400 direct stimulus checks, $160 billion for a national vaccine program, a $15 an hour federal minimum wage, and billions invested for education, childcare, nutrition programs, and more. On a call yesterday, incoming First Lady Dr. Jill Biden told military families she's ready to work with them to relaunch Joining Forces, a support program she co-founded with First Lady Michelle Obama.
This has been an incredible time for Joe and me, and the weight and the beauty of this responsibility, of the trust the American people have given us, will never leave me.
Meanwhile, Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney survived Republican calls to remove her from GOP leadership. The number 3 House Republican voted for President Donald Trump's second impeachment. Some Republicans that supported Trump's rejection of the election now say impeachment will further divide the country, but the path to unity goes through accountability, say others. California Democrat Ted Lieu on the House Judiciary Committee told NBC, quote, "We cannot heal as a nation without first having justice," unquote. Chair of the House Homeland Security Committee, Benny Thompson in Mississippi, agrees.
You don't resolve the lingering stink that this administration has created by just saying it's over.
Thompson also wants Senators Ted Cruz of Texas and Josh Hawley of Missouri punished for leading the effort to refuse certified election results without credible evidence. Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski is one of a handful of Republican senators who have signaled they would at least consider the arguments of both sides in the Senate trial. No date has been set.
Donald Trump was a disaster for human rights.
Ken Roth heads up Human Rights Watch, which released its new World Report 2021 this week. He says Trump dismissed refugee rights, empowered white supremacists, undermined LGBTQ rights, revoked environmental protections, and eroded the democratic process, along with America's credibility.
Even though there was an occasional U.S. condemnation of human rights in Venezuela, Cuba, Iran, sometimes China, these rang hollow when there was parallel praise bestowed on the likes of Russia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, or Israel.
The report urges Biden to establish a worldwide commitment to human rights that can't be easily reversed by future successors. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. Thanks for listening.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to the East County Magazine live radio show. the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. This has been a historic week marked by the assault on our nation's capital and the impeachment of President Donald Trump on grounds of inciting insurrection. We'll have clips today of what East County's representatives had to say when casting their votes on the House floor. In breaking news, former Santee City Councilman Stephen Houlihan, a registered nurse, has announced that he plans to run for Congress due to the federal government's mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic. His likely opponent, Congressman Daryl Issa, faulted Democrats in March for exaggerating the seriousness of the crisis, in his view, just days before the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic. County supervisors have voted to pursue state funds for housing for the mentally ill, homeless people, and those at risk of becoming homeless. Newly elected supervisor Joel Anderson wants to go further to help the homeless. You can hear details on today's show. Santa Ana winds are roaring into our region, heightening fire danger, and we'll have details. An organization focused on national security after the 9/11 terror attacks is calling for the resignation of local assemblyman Randy Vopel due to inflammatory remarks that he made likening the Capitol insurrection to the battle that began the Revolutionary War. From California News Service, COVID-19 vaccines will soon be available for seniors over age 65, as well as educators and some other at-risk groups. Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered the state's National Guard troops to protect the California Capitol in Sacramento after FBI warnings of right-wing extremists plotting attacks on all 50 state capitals. And on 2021 Talk from Public News Service, hear how security is being beefed up in Washington, D.C. prior to the inauguration of Joe Biden as president on January 20th, and hear details of the new rescue plan for America proposed by President-elect Biden, including a new round of COVID-19 relief checks and more. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters. President Donald Trump is now the first president in history to be impeached twice. But unlike his first impeachment, this time, 10 Republicans joined with House Democrats to impeach President Trump on grounds of inciting insurrection. In a fiery speech delivered at the Capitol Ellipse before a crowd that included many armed supporters, the president urged them to march to the Capitol and disrupt certification of the votes affirming Joe Biden as president. Trump repeated debunked claims that the election was stolen, even though all 50 state election officials say they found no evidence of fraud, and more than 24 judges also found those claims baseless. Trump then fired up the angry mob, promising to march with them to the Capitol, even though he didn't.
But I said, something's wrong here. Something's really wrong. Can't have happened. And we fight. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
His attorney, Rudy Giuliani, also used violent language to incite the crowd. And here's an example.
Let's have trial by combat!
The mob invaded and looted the Capitol, killed a Capitol police officer, trampled one of their own, and caused at least 5 deaths. But it could have been far worse. Indictments of some insurrectionists arrested reveal that they planned to kill top elected officials, including assassinating House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Mike Pence, whom Trump had harshly criticized in his speech just before the mob terrorized legislators. The president watched on TV from the White House as the violent mob chanted, "Death to Pence," with a gallows erected on the Capitol lawn, and yet Trump refused to take calls from Pence or congressional leaders during the takeover of the Capitol. He even refused requests to send in the National Guard. It was Vice President Pence who ultimately authorized the National Guard after hours of presidential inaction. House Speaker Pelosi called the president a clear and present danger in her speech introducing the impeachment article.
A dark week it has been indeed. On Wednesday, the President of the United States incited a deadly insurrection against America that targeted the very heart of our democracy, this temple of democracy, the United States Capitol. And now the President is saying that he is not responsible and that his incitement to violence was totally appropriate. The president's actions demonstrate his absolute inability to discharge the most basic and fundamental powers and duties of his office. Therefore, the president must be removed from office immediately. This is a decision we make with the utmost solemnity and prayerfulness, which this crisis requires. Removal of the president is an unprecedented action, but it is required because it is an unprecedented moment in history because the danger that he poses. And I heard the previous speaker say that we are objecting to the president because we don't like the way he executes the duties. No, we don't like it at all. Acts of sedition, incitement to insurrection, treasonous activity. And if you are associating yourself with that as the proper execution of the president's duties, you are associating yourself with sedition and treason.
San Diego's four Democratic members of Congress all voted for impeachment, though the lone Republican voted against it. The San Diego Union-Tribune recently characterized our county's two newest members, Sarah Jacobs and Daryl Issa, as profiles in courage and cowardice. Here's what Sarah Jacobs had to say in her floor speech on the impeachment.
Madam Speaker, the response to political violence must always be accountability. Without accountability, more violence will follow. I learned that working at the United Nations and the State Department in conflict settings around the world, and the United States Congress is now a conflict setting. A violent mob threatened our lives in this chamber and almost succeeded, incited by the president who broadcasted lies about the outcome of our election. We must hold this president accountable. It's the only way to protect our democracy. I yield back.
But Congressman Issa, who earlier took heat for claiming Democrats overplayed the seriousness of the insurrection and murder of a Capitol policeman, defended the president's actions when he cast his vote against impeachment.
The last speaker said that for 4 years, the president did all these terrible, insightful things, including anti-Semitism. I take exception with that, but I think it's important that we embrace one thing that was said. Yes, the president has been consistent for the last 4 years. During his campaign, I even, while representing another candidate, said that the president had political Tourette's. He said what was on his mind without a filter. I don't think that's being debated here today. We all know that's true. What's being debated is whether with 167 hours left until he leaves office, is he a clear and present danger? And he clearly isn't. The president has acted substantially the same for 4 years. He has rallied his base. And he has, in fact, called for peaceful protest, as he did just a few days ago. The fact is, today we are trying to punish the president, at least some are, for 4 years of what he did, not for what happened last week. What happened last week was the result of anarchists who came loaded, prepared, and with weapons. With that, I yield back.
But 10 Republicans did have the courage to stand against their party's president, including Liz Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney and the third highest-ranking Republican in the House. She voted for impeachment, but did not speak, instead issuing a written statement, which reads in part, "The President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. None of this would have happened without the president. The president could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not." Congresswoman Jaime Herrera Buettler, another Republican who voted for impeachment, admitted to feeling afraid, but felt it her duty to do the right thing, even if it costs her re-election. Here is what she had to say.
Our enemy isn't the president or the president-elect. Fear is our enemy. Fear tells us what we want to hear. It incites anger and violence and fire. But it also haunts us into silence and inaction. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of what people will say or think. I'm afraid of being devalued. I'm not afraid of losing my job, but I am afraid that my country will fail. I'm afraid patriots of this country have died in vain. I'm afraid my children won't grow up in a free country. I'm afraid injustice will prevail. But truth sets us free from fear. Truth doesn't guarantee bad things won't happen, but it does promise to always prevail in the end. It has no shadows where darkness can hide. With truth comes love, and we could use that right now. My vote to impeach our sitting president is not a fear-based decision. I am not choosing a side. I'm choosing truth. It's the only way to defeat fear.
The president has remained defiant and unrepentant, however, even in the face of impeachment, continuing to defend his actions when asked by a reporter about his role in inciting the mob that trashed the Capitol.
What is your role in what happened at the Capitol? What is your personal responsibility?
So if you read my speech, and many people have done it, and I've seen it both in the papers and in the media, on television, it's been analyzed, and people thought that what I said was totally appropriate. And if you look at what other people have said, politicians at a high level, about the riots during the summer, the horrible riots in Portland and Seattle and various other places, that was a real problem, what they said.
Now, it remains unclear whether the Senate will have enough votes to convict the president, though several Republicans have indicated they believe he did commit impeachable offenses. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell has indicated that he has not yet decided whether to actually vote for impeachment or not, though in private, he reportedly has told some aides he does believe the president's actions may be impeachable. But McConnell has said he will not reconvene the Senate before Joe Biden is inaugurated on the 20th, and Democrats regain control of the Senate with the two new Georgia senators seated. That means an impeachment proceeding can't move forward until after Trump is out of office. There is historical precedent for the Senate to impeach and convict a federal official after he's no longer in office. A Secretary of War more than a century ago resigned after bribery evidence surfaced, and he was impeached after leaving office. The Congress indicated that members wanted to send a message to future public officials for the next century that such actions have grave consequences. If the Senate does vote to convict Trump, it could also vote to ban him from ever holding office again. He also stands to lose his presidential pension and other perks normally provided to former U.S. presidents. And there is the possibility that he could ultimately face prosecution for his actions. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Former Santee Councilman Stephen Houlihan has announced that he will run for the 50th Congressional District, the seat held by Republican Daryl Issa. Houlihan wasted no time in making the announcement shortly after losing his race against Santee Mayor John Minto. A political independent, Houlihan says he plans to become a Democrat for the 2022 congressional race. Issa won his election by just an 8-point margin over Democrat Amar Campanajar in November, filling the vacancy left by the resignation of Duncan Hunter after Hunter pled guilty to diverting $250,000 in campaign funds for his lavish personal lifestyle. A registered nurse and educator at Sharp Healthcare, Houlihan is a frontline healthcare worker who has worked in hospital ICUs and seen firsthand the ravages caused by COVID-19. One of his main reasons for running is the federal government's botched response to the pandemic. Houlihan was not available for an interview due to his intensive schedule at Sharp Memorial Hospital, but his spokesman, Bobby Borisov, says Houlihan criticized the Trump administration's bungling of getting out protective gear for healthcare workers, funding to help hospitals facing a surge in patients, and information to the public. Daryl Issa, in early March, claimed that COVID-19 was a crisis promoted by Democrats in a fundraising letter sent just days before the World Health Organization declared a worldwide pandemic. Houlihan has master's degrees in nursing and business from the University of San Diego, or USD. Before serving on the Santee City Council, he led a successful effort to stop the proposed gas-fired Quail Brush plant near Mission Trails Regional Park, based on concerns over its impacts on public health and safety. This week, Issa voted against impeachment of President Trump and also accused Democrats of overplaying Trump's role in the Capitol insurrection, ransacking, and deaths that occurred. Asked for Houlihan's comments on these issues, however, Borisov said, "He doesn't have a comment on Issa. He doesn't want to play political games, who's right or who's wrong. It's all about unity. It's all about getting the country fixed and stopping the fighting and serving the people in a better way." Houlihan made his candidacy announcement on a GoFundMe page he set up to raise money for legal fees associated with defending himself in a lawsuit filed last month by Republican Central Committee member and Santee resident Dan Bickford. Bickford, an outspoken supporter of the Finita Ranch massive housing development, accused defendants Van Collingsworth, Preserve Wild Santee, Houlihan, and his mayoral campaign of not disclosing donors to initiative drives that would enable the people to overturn the council's vote for Finita Ranch and give voters a say in future large development projects. Campanijar told East County Magazine that he won't make a decision on whether or not to run again until he sees the results of redistricting. Quote, "It's premature to make my decision, but I'm not ruling it out," he said. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
County supervisors unanimously voted Tuesday to apply for $12 million in additional state funding for the No Place Like Home program. No Place Like Home provides funding to create affordable housing units for those with serious mental illness who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. County Behavioral Health Supportive Services will also be provided to tenants in the No Place Like Home units over 20 years. The county has previously received some funding through this program. Tuesday's board action allows the county to seek an additional $12 million for a third round. In all, the county could qualify for a total of $117 million through the end of 2024. The county has put previous allocations towards six developments that are underway around the region in San Diego, the South Bay, and North County, but so far, there are no projects in East County. East County Magazine has reached out to East County's newly elected supervisor, Joel Anderson, whose campaign platform included helping the homeless, to ask if he plans any action to seek housing for the homeless and those at risk of homelessness in East County. We heard back from Scott Barnett, Supervisor Anderson's chief of staff. He said Supervisor Anderson plans to release a comprehensive plan to focus on homelessness, including people who are homeless because they lost jobs and can't pay rent, a problem getting worse during the pandemic, as well as those who are mentally ill or have substance abuse issues. Barnett said that in the supervisor's first 8 days, Joel Anderson has already met with about 10 county departments and homelessness activists, and he plans to propose pilot programs that can be expanded if they work or modified if improvements are needed. The East County area has large homeless populations in El Cajon, as well as the unincorporated areas of Spring Valley and Lakeside, among others. The annual point-in-time homeless count, normally done each January, has been canceled this year due to COVID-19, so there is no way to know how many more people may be living on the streets now due to losing their jobs or homes amid the pandemic. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Santa Ana winds are forecast to roar into our region, bringing high fire danger starting Friday and Saturday, along with soaring temperatures up to 20 degrees above normal. SDG&E has announced possible public safety power shutoffs to over 11,000 customers across San Diego County's mountain and rural communities. You can find updates on this at the outage page at sdge.com. The National Weather Service warns that strong, damaging Santa Ana winds are expected to again be likely Monday through Wednesday, along with likely high fire danger if the humidity remains low. There is, however, a slight chance of rain Tuesday night and Wednesday in our mountains and deserts. Along the coast, expect elevated surf to continue Sunday through Tuesday. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Soon after insurrectionists violently took over the nation's capital, threatening lives of legislators and resulting in 5 deaths, including a police officer, statements made by East County Assemblyman Randy Vopel are drawing sharp criticisms, including calls for his resignation or expulsion from the state legislature. Vopel, also a former Santee mayor, said of the insurrection, quote, "This is Lexington and Concord. First shots fired against tyranny. Tyranny will follow in the aftermath of the Biden swear-in on January 20th, the San Diego Union-Tribune reported on January 10th. That prompted numerous posts on the Republican Assemblyman's Facebook page, overwhelmingly condemning his statements. John Russo, who says he comes from a military family, wrote, quote, "I do not respect your attempt to analogize the mob violence that desecrated our Capitol last week in an attempt to intimidate the Congress of the United States to the actions of the founders of this nation. The founders would have been horrified by what happened last week and would have dealt sternly with those who participated in, as well as those who incited an attack on the Republican and Democratic form of government that the Revolutionary War generation left us as a legacy. Rousseau then called on Vaupell to resign, one of several voters who called for Vaupell's resignation. While no one on Vaupell's Facebook page overtly defended his remarks as of the deadline for today's show, some deflected by blaming Democrats for not being forceful enough in condemning other violence during Black Lives Matter protests earlier this year. The Truman National Security Project went further, sending a letter to the State Assembly calling for Vaupell to be expelled. The group was founded after 9/11 to advocate for tough national security solutions. Their letter calls Vaupell's words, quote, an explicit glorification of the insurrection and direct incitement of further violence, noting that Vaupell is a military veteran as well as an elected official. The letter from the group, which includes many veterans, concluded, quote, we believe that he has violated his sworn oath and must be held accountable. The assembly leadership has not yet announced whether it will act on the expulsion request or take other disciplinary action. Vaupell later tried to walk back his statements, posting on Facebook, quote, I do not condone or support the violence and lawlessness that took place on Wednesday, January 6th, at our nation's capital. He offered condolences to the families who lost loved ones in the attack. But he added that the actions reflect, quote, the deep division currently facing our nation, end quote, and called for healing that divide, but said nothing about holding insurrectionists responsible for their actions. Vaupell has previously drawn criticisms of alleged stolen valor, falsely claiming to have earned military medals that in some cases were not backed up by military records. He has also been exposed boasting on tape of military exploits that did not occur, falsely claiming to have been in a boat in a jungle with an elite force in Vietnam, while, in fact, Vaupell was a sailor stationed offshore. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
California has just changed its tier system to speed COVID-19 vaccinations for older people. The first tier of Phase 1 included people in nursing homes and frontline workers. Tier 1B has been expanded to include people age 65 and older, plus those who work in education, child care, emergency services, and food and agriculture. Fred Buzo with AARP California commends the state for prioritizing older adults.
Since the start of the pandemic, nearly 95% of the deaths from COVID-19 have been among people who are 50 and over.
The state issues guidelines on each tier, but each county decides how to allocate them depending on the amount of vaccine they've received and the need in that area. People should check with their own health care provider and the county to determine when they will be eligible to receive a vaccination. Buzo says AARP's website now features a California vaccine distribution guide. In addition, there's an online hub for COVID information and a series of teletown halls about the virus.
Things are changing so quickly. So we are updating it very quickly. So you need to check back frequently.
He adds that people should be on the lookout for vaccine-related scams. In Santa Clara County, for example, Buzo says quite a few people have received fraudulent text messages telling them that appointments are available due to an excess of vaccine, when that is not the case. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Governor Gavin Newsom has announced deployment of up to 1,000 California National Guard troops to guard the state capitol in Sacramento amid threats of right-wing violence. The activation follows last week's insurrection in Washington, when thousands of supporters of defeated President Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol in an effort to overturn the November election. The FBI has warned that right-wing extremists are planning assaults on all 50 state capitals on or near Inauguration Day, January 20th. FBI Director Christopher Wray said Thursday that he is concerned about the potential for violence at multiple protests and rallies planned here in D.C. and at state capitol buildings around the country. Washington is under intense security, with over 20,000 National Guard troops deployed to bolster local police during the inauguration of President Joe Biden. Several states have activated their National Guard for security. The California Highway Patrol has canceled a permit for a rally slated for California's capital, citing concerns about potential violence. However, cancellation of a permit in Washington, D.C. did not deter armed insurrectionists there from violently invading the nation's capital, resulting in 5 deaths and extensive damage. Governor Newsom says National Guard troops and California Highway Patrol officers will set up a security perimeter to protect critical state infrastructure around our capital in advance of the presidential inauguration in Washington. The governor concludes, "What we witnessed in our nation's capital was an undemocratic and unconscionable assault on our republic," and he promises, "there will be no tolerance for violence." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 transition in uncharted territory.
Just as we respect and will protect peaceful protesters, we will also just as vigorously resist violence.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and other state leaders are beefing up security after FBI warnings of possible armed protests leading up to the inauguration. Organizations that track right-wing extremists say there's online chatter planning more violence. Utah Governor Spencer Cox says they're preparing.
We are bringing in all of our reserves that we can with the Highway Patrol. They will be ready this weekend, and the National Guard will be on standby.
To improve safety on flights to and from D.C., the TSA is increasing security screenings and some airlines are banning guns and alcohol. President-elect Joe Biden announced his American Rescue Plan last night, nearly $2 trillion to pull the country out of the economic crisis, including $1,400 direct stimulus checks, $160 billion for a national vaccine program, a $15 an hour federal minimum wage, and billions invested for education, childcare, nutrition programs, and more. On a call yesterday, incoming First Lady Dr. Jill Biden told military families she's ready to work with them to relaunch Joining Forces, a support program she co-founded with First Lady Michelle Obama.
This has been an incredible time for Joe and me, and the weight and the beauty of this responsibility, of the trust the American people have given us, will never leave me.
Meanwhile, Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney survived Republican calls to remove her from GOP leadership. The number 3 House Republican voted for President Donald Trump's second impeachment. Some Republicans that supported Trump's rejection of the election now say impeachment will further divide the country, but the path to unity goes through accountability, say others. California Democrat Ted Lieu on the House Judiciary Committee told NBC, quote, "We cannot heal as a nation without first having justice," unquote. Chair of the House Homeland Security Committee, Benny Thompson in Mississippi, agrees.
You don't resolve the lingering stink that this administration has created by just saying it's over.
Thompson also wants Senators Ted Cruz of Texas and Josh Hawley of Missouri punished for leading the effort to refuse certified election results without credible evidence. Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski is one of a handful of Republican senators who have signaled they would at least consider the arguments of both sides in the Senate trial. No date has been set.
Donald Trump was a disaster for human rights.
Ken Roth heads up Human Rights Watch, which released its new World Report 2021 this week. He says Trump dismissed refugee rights, empowered white supremacists, undermined LGBTQ rights, revoked environmental protections, and eroded the democratic process, along with America's credibility.
Even though there was an occasional U.S. condemnation of human rights in Venezuela, Cuba, Iran, sometimes China, these rang hollow when there was parallel praise bestowed on the likes of Russia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, or Israel.
The report urges Biden to establish a worldwide commitment to human rights that can't be easily reversed by future successors. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. Thanks for listening.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.